सब सुपरकॉन्शियस माइंड विल हेल्प यू व्हाइल यू आर वेकफुल एंड समटाइम्स इवन इन ड्रीम्स यू मे रिमेंबर बट नॉट इन डीप स्लीप व्हाट कृष्णा सेज इन गीता द योगी इज अवेक इवन व्हेन द होल वर्ल्ड स्लीप्स. He is indicating to a higher state. I call the sixth superconscious mind. Then one remains alert even while asleep, deep asleep, but awareness remains there. This is the sixth, and out of this sixth, the seventh grows spontaneously. You have not to do anything for it. That seventh again I call no mind, to make the circle complete. The first is the no mind of a rock, and the last is the no mind of a god. To show this unity, we have sculptured gods in a stone. To show this unity, this circle complete, we have made stone statues of God. To show that stone is the first and God is the last and both meet somewhere. Again, no mind. Call it soul, God, enlightenment, nirvana, salvation, or whatsoever you choose it to call. These are seven stages, and this is the rainbow a man is. One thing more, then we enter into the sutras, and that is, not a single color has to be denied. All the colors have to be absorbed in the rainbow. And all the notes of music, all the seven notes of music, have to become part of the melody. And all these seven chakras, from Muladhar to Sahasrara, they have to become unity. It is not that you have to deny some chakras, because that denied chakra will not allow you ever to become whole, and one who is not whole can never be holy. They all have to form a hierarchy, a unity. They all have to belong to one center. A real man of religion lives the whole rainbow, from the rock to God, from no mind on this end to the no mind on the other end. He is the whole spectrum. He lives life totally. Nothing is denied. Everything is used. Nothing is denied at all. If something feels like a jarring note, that simply means you have not been yet able to utilize it. It can be used. The poison can become medicinal. You have to know how to transform it. And sometimes the nectar can be poisonous if you don't know how to use it. If you know how to use anger, you will see anger gives you a sharpness of being. Just as somebody has sharpened his sword, anger rightly used gives you a sharpness, a radiance, a tremendous vitality. Sex rightly used makes you so full of love that you can go on sharing to all and sundry, and it is never exhausted. Sex rightly used gives a rebirth to yourself. Ordinarily, it reproduces children. extraordinarily, it reproduces your innermost being. Everything that you have has to fall into a unity. Once a very rich man asked Pablo Picasso to make a portrait of him. And as Picasso was well known, he demanded a very fantastic price for it. Millions of dollars. The rich man said, "That's okay. You just do the portrait." The portrait was finished. Came the rich man. He was not satisfied. He said, "For that much money, and what you have done, just an ordinary canvas and few colors." Picasso said, "Just few colors and ordinary canvas? Wait." He went in his studio, brought a big canvas and many tubes of colors and brushes and gave it to him and said, "You can make your portrait yourself. And I will not pay for it at all. You can take these colors, these brushes and this canvas as a gift from me." Then the rich man understood, it is not the colors, it is the combination. It is not the canvas, it is not the brush, it is the artist behind it. One who has combined all together and has created a new unity which was never before. Those colors were separate. That canvas was just dead. Now it has become alive. Now it speaks a language, sings a song. It is not just colors. A greater harmony has descended in those colors. A music has arisen out of them. Let me tell you that whatsoever you have, all has to be used. Nothing is useless. Never throw anything, otherwise you will one day repent. All has to be used. Just become more insightful, more mindful, become more aware, and start looking things into things of your inner being and how to bring them to a higher harmony. That's all. Right now you are a crowd. Right now you are not an individual. You are not a rainbow. All the colors are falling in separate dimensions, moving away from each other. They don't have a center. Right now you are a noise, not music. But remember, in the noise, all the notes are present, rearranged. Arranged in a better aesthetic, artistic way, they will become beautiful music. All that is needed is a deep aesthetic look into your being. Now the sutras. Manna rangaye jogi, rangaye kapda. The yogi dyes his garments instead of dyeing his mind in the colors of love. Kabir says, "O fool, rather than dyeing your mind into the love of God, rather than dyeing your being into the radiance of love, you simply go on dyeing your clothes." Religion happens from the inside out. It does not happen from the outside in. It arises in the center of your being and spreads towards the periphery. Not otherwise. Not vice versa. Religion never arises from the periphery. If religion arises from the periphery, it will remain peripheral. It will never touch your soul and it will never bring any transformation to you. That's how it has been happening all over the earth. A child is born. Accidental it is, whether in a Hindu or a Christian or a Mohammedan house. And immediately the society, the parents jump on him. And they start dyeing his clothes. They teach him, you are a Christian. He does not know anything about Christ. In fact, he is not even thirsty to know. Even the desire does not exist. He has not entered life at all. And you start talking to him that you are a Christian. And you go on forcing on his mind that he is a Christian. You took him, take him to the church. You force him to read the Bible. You force him to go to the Sunday school. And you condition his mind. By and by, continuous repetition changes the periphery. The cloth is dyed. He becomes a Christian without ever falling in love with Christ. He becomes a hypocrite. He becomes a pretender. You have destroyed his being. Rather than being a help, you have been tremendously harmful. You were not his friend. You have destroyed the very possibility. One day, he was going to search for religion. But the search has to be one's own. Nobody can force it from the outside. If you are thirsty, I can show you the way. If you are not thirsty, you may stand just on the bank of the river. And you may not be able to see that the river is flowing just in front of you. Only thirst gives you eyes to see the water. When the thirst is not there, it is meaningless. We are all religious people. Somebody is Hindu, Mohammedan, Jaina, Buddhist. And we are all false religious people. Our clothes have been dyed, conditioned. Kabir says, Manna rangaye jogi. Better color your consciousness, dye your consciousness, rather than going on arranging your periphery. Start from the center. Start from being. Don't start from behavior. Start from being. Don't try to cultivate a character. Try to bring awareness. These two things, remember. Character and consciousness. The society insists that you should have a character. Jesus, Buddha, Mahavir, Kabir, they insist you should have a consciousness, not character. Character is just peripheral. If you have consciousness, you will be good, naturally good. There is no need to bother about character. But if you don't have any consciousness, your character will be just a false thing hanging around you. It will not be true. And it will become a bondage to you. And you will have to find subtle ways how to avoid it. Because it has no intrinsic relationship with you. The society says this is good, so you do it. You do it half-heartedly. You do it without any heart in it. You do it as a duty. And deep down, you want to do just the opposite. And you will find, if you are clever, you will find ways how to go on doing the opposite and go on pretending. How to be in two worlds, double bind. That's what all your character, all your conditioning comes to. Man is split. People say this is good, it has to be done, otherwise you will be thought bad. Out of fear, you follow it. Deep down you know that this is not good. Deep down you know something else is good. But you cannot follow that out of fear. Fear cannot give character. Fear only gives impotence, makes you weaker. Kabir says, the yogi dyes his garments instead of dyeing his mind in the colors of love. He sits within the temple of the Lord, leaving Brahma to worship a stone. And Kabir says, God is within you, you are within him, and you go on worshipping in a ritualistic way. You go on seeking and searching. Somebody is going to Kaaba and somebody is going to Kasi. And somebody is on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem and somebody is going to Girnar. What nonsense, Kabir says. He is within you. Where you are going, there is no need to go anywhere. In fact, stop all going and close your eyes and look within. And he is there. The Lord of Lords is always present within you. He is born in you. You are his temple. He sits within the temple of the Lord, leaving Brahma to worship a stone, and you leave this Lord, your innermost being, and you go on worshipping things, man-made things, man-made gods. He pierces holes in his ears. He has a great beard and matted locks. He looks like a goat. Right is Kabir. He says, whatsoever you go on enforcing from the outside will never make you human. You will remain animal. Just look, I told you, the first three chakras are animal. Food, domination, sex, pleasure, indulgence. These are the first three chakras. And now you go into the scriptures and look what they say about paradise. All these three things, nothing else. In paradise you will have beautiful women, more beautiful than you can ever have here, with golden bodies. They don't perspire. And they don't age. They remain fixed at the age of 16. At least in the Hindu paradise, they never go beyond 16. Eternally young. This mind, who has conceived this paradise, must be hanging around the lower centers. In the Hindu paradise, they have wish-fulfilling trees, kalpatarus. You just sit underneath them and all your desires are fulfilled. Not a single moment is lost. You desire, here you have not even desired, and it is fulfilled. Great opportunity to indulge. Because here on the earth, if you desire something, it will take years for the fulfillment. If you want a big car, you will have to earn money, steal money, exploit, do something. And then too, it is not certain. If you are fortunate, after few years, of a struggle, you may have a big car. Not so in the Hindu paradise. The desire arises, a big car, the image arises, and simultaneously comes the car. Now this paradise cannot be very high. It shows from where it has arisen. The lower animal centers. In the Mohammedan paradise, even worse things are possible. Because in the Mohammedan countries, this is something all races and all religions that have come out of Judaism somehow have always been homosexual. In the Mohammedan countries, homosexuality was so prevalent that too is provided for in their paradise. Not only beautiful women, but beautiful boys will be available. This seems ugly. Just the very idea seems nauseating. But those three lower chakras, whatsoever their desires are, they have been projected. Kabir says, he pierces holes in his ears, he has a great beard and matted locks, he looks like a goat. It is very symbolic, he says, but your whole idea of religion is so much obsessed with the lower centers that you are not a man yet, you may be just a goat. Very animalistic. He goes forth into the wilderness, killing all his desires, and turns himself into an anak. And Kabir says, repression is not brahmacharya. Repressing your desires and destroying your desires is not the way of celibacy. Because if you repress your desires, you will remain hung up with them. Whatsoever is repressed, you have to repress it again and again and again. And whatsoever is repressed, you have to sit on it continuously. Otherwise, there is fear. If you move somewhere else, it may bubble up again. Repression can never bring freedom. Repression makes you a slave. Repress anything, and that will become your master. So the so-called celibates in the monasteries, the brahmacharis, they continuously are obsessed with sex. Their whole obsession is sex. Their mind is completely sexual. It has to be so. Or, if you are mad, and you are really against the body, and you start destroying the body, the only thing that you can succeed in will be that you will become an anak. Yes, that too has happened. In Russia, there has been a Christian sect. For hundreds of years, they have existed. And their number has been great. They cut their sexual organs. Actually cut. Stupid. Because just by cutting your sexual organs, you don't go beyond sex. You simply become incapable of sex. But to become incapable is not to go beyond. Incapacity is not transcendence. Kabir says, be natural. Let this sexual energy be understood more in a deeper way. Let it be transformed, channelized to higher parts in your being. Let it move from the third center to the fourth, from the fourth to the fifth. And you will see the sexual energy is not your enemy. It is a great reservoir, a great gift from God. It has tremendous value. Without it, there is no possibility of spiritual growth. Have you ever heard about any impotent person becoming enlightened? I have never come across. Otherwise, impotent people would be the most enlightened people in the world. They don't have energy. They should reach first. But it seems they never reach. Because without energy, there is no possibility of movement. Without energy, there is no growth. You have to ride on the waves of energy. Kabir is in tremendous love with life and all that life is. He says, use all. Use for higher purposes. Go on finding higher goals. Go on finding better and better goals, higher harmonies, but never deny anything. Never say no to anything. Anything that God has given to you must have a purpose behind it. Find out the purpose. Don't be in a hurry to cut anything. He shaves his head and dyes his garments. He reads the Gita and becomes a mighty talker. Kabir says, you are going to the doors of death bound hand and foot. And Kabir says, people read the scripture, Gita, Quran, Bible. They become very proficient, very logical, argumentative, talkative. But they don't know anything. Knowledge is one thing, and to know another. To know means to come face to face with reality, to have an encounter with God. Knowledge means to collect information. You can collect. You can use your mind as a computer. You can go on feeding it. It can collect all the knowledge that is available in the world. Do you know? A single mind can contain all the libraries of the world. Given enough time, a single mind is enough to contain all the libraries. So much information can be collected. Yet you will remain ignorant. Behind all those curtains, decorated curtains of information, you will remain ignorant because you have not tasted. You have not known yourself. Unless you know yourself, all knowledge is futile. Kabir says, you are going to the doors of death bound hand and foot. Go on talking about Gita and go on talking about Quran and go on talking about the Bible, but I can see you are simply going into death and nowhere else because you have not yet contacted the source of life. I hear the melody of his flute and I cannot contain myself. Humse raha na jaye. Says Kabir, I cannot contain myself. I have heard his melody. I have heard his flute. It is not from Gita. It is not from Quran. It is from his lips directly. I hear the melody of his flute and I cannot contain myself. The flower blooms though it is not spring, and already the bee has received its invitation. Just as I told you, when you reach the fifth stage, sub-superconscious mind, or what in yoga is called Visuddhi Chakra, or what in the Christian allegory is Good Friday. Jesus is crucified on Friday, fifth day of the week. It is very significant, allegorical. Jesus is crucified when he is at the fifth Visuddhi Chakra. Super, sub-super conscious mind. Your ego dies only at the fifth, never before. At the fourth, you are so unaware, you cannot catch hold of your ego. It is very subtle. At the fifth, your awareness is more bright. You can look deep into the phenomenon of the ego. You can catch hold of it. And this is the beauty of it. Once you have catch hold of your ego, it dies on its own accord. In fact, the moment you have seen it through and through, it is no more. It is just a shadow. It existed because of your unawareness. And when the ego dies, or in the Christian terminology, when Jesus is crucified, then the melody is heard. Below the fifth, you go on hearing your own mind, your own chattering. It is all nonsense. You are almost insane. You go on hearing your own insanity and you go on chewing it again and again and again. Whatsoever you call thinking is nothing but chewing the same things again and again. Someday write it down on a paper. Whatsoever comes in the mind, just go on dotting it. Don't try to improve it. Don't fill the gaps. And you will be surprised how the mind jumps from one thing to another. Meaningless. Just a junkyard. A rubbish heap. And you will not be ready to sow that paper to anybody. Because whomsoever you will sow, he will say, some madman has done this. Try it. That madman is within you. Up to the fourth, you are a madman. And because of this madness and constant noise that your mind makes, you cannot hear the flute. God is continuously playing on his flute. Humse raha na jaye. Kabir is saying, now it is impossible to resist. I cannot contain. He has called me. I have heard his notes. His flute is ringing in my ears. I hear the melody of his flute and I cannot contain myself. This happens at the fifth center. Sub-superconscious mind. The melody comes, surrounds you like a fragrance, cleanses you, refreshes you, rejuvenates you, gives you new elan, new zest, new enthusiasm. The word enthusiasm is beautiful. The root means God within. It comes from Theo. Theo means God. Entheos means God has entered within. God within, that is the meaning of enthusiasm. Only at the fifth, one becomes full of enthusiasm. God has entered. The melody has entered. You are surrounded by something unknown. The mysterious has happened. The impossible has happened. Only at the fifth you become religious for the first time. And of course this religion is neither Christian nor Hindu nor Mohammedan. This is simply religion. You have heard his flute. Humse raha na jaye. And says Kabir, now there is no way to remain where I am. It is pulling me far within words. It is pulling me beyond myself. Now I cannot resist. The pilgrimage has started. The odyssey has begun. The flower blooms, though it is not spring. And Kabir says, this is a miracle. The spring has not come. And the flower is blooming. In fact, in that world, beyond the fifth, it is always spring. Below the fifth, it is never spring. Below the fifth, it is always a dark night of the soul. Below the fifth, it is always desert. Beyond the fifth, it is always a spring. Kabir says the flower blooms though it is not a spring. The miracle is happening, and already the bee has received its invitation. At the fifth you receive the invitation from the seventh. It comes from far away, because there is still one barrier, very thin barrier. You can see through it. It is very transparent. It is not much of a barrier. It is not a china wall. It is a pure glass. Unless you come very close, you will not know it. The sixth is a very thin barrier, a screen. At the fifth one, it starts feeling that one has arrived. By and by, one becomes aware that the melody is coming from very far away. The home is yet not come. The bee has received the invitation. Now the God has called forth. The God has provoked and challenged. Now for the first time, God becomes a reality. Up to now it was just a symbol, a meaningless word, too much used and abused, too much used by the priests and the politicians, and made dirty because of that use. For the first time, now, God is not a theological word. It is not a symbol. It is a reality. Crystal clear. You can feel the impact. You are thrilled. God starts pulsating in your heart. Humse rahana chahe. And Kabir kahte, now it is impossible to stay here. I have to go. Now there is no way. I am being pulled. I am helpless. This is the point from where grace starts. Let me tell you, you have heard about the principle of gravitation. Up to the fifth, you are pulled downwards. That is the principle of gravitation. Beyond the fifth, you are pulled upwards. That is the principle of grace. Science knows only one. Religion knows both. I have heard about a Sufi mystic who was staying in a house. The people with whom he was staying were afraid, because he was a madman, as all really religious people always are. And he was very unpredictable. And he can do anything. So they were worried and they put him in the basement so that he cannot escape in the night, cannot create any scene, or may start singing and dancing, and may the neighborhood will gather and it will not be good. Suddenly in the middle of the night they heard a great laughter, belly laughter, coming from the terrace. The rust, he was laughing there and rolling on the terrace. They asked, what has happened? He said, a miracle. I fell upwards. The principle of grace. One starts falling upwards. He said, you had put me in the basement. Humse raha na chahe. But I cannot be there. I am falling upwards. How can you hold me there? And I am laughing, because what you will think of it? You will not believe me that one can fall upwards. That's why I am laughing. But trust me. Believe me. It has happened. I fell from the bed in the basement, opened my eyes, and I was on the terrace. After the fifth, this miracle happens. You start falling upwards. The principle of grace. And already the bee has received its invitation. The sky roars and the lightning flashes. Now you are entering into the inner sky. You have seen the outer sky. And you have seen the outer lightning. You don't know anything about your own inner sky, which is vaster than the outer, which is greater than the outer. The sky roars and the lightning flashes. The waves arise in my heart and I am becoming oceanic. Waves upon waves are rising in my heart and I am reaching to higher peaks every moment. The rain falls and my heart longs for my Lord. And from the Sahasrara, the seventh, when you are at the fifth, something starts falling on you like rain. Thirsty for millions of years you have been. Thirsty and hungry and dying. And suddenly nectar starts showering on you. The rain falls and my heart longs for my Lord. Where the rhythm of the world rises and falls, thither my heart has reached. And then an upsurge arises in you. Up to the fifth, you have to work your way. From the fifth, God takes charge of you. Up to the fifth, you have to search Him. From the fifth, He holds your hands. Up to the fifth, you can go astray. Beyond the fifth, there is no way of going astray. The sixth comes spontaneously. By and by, you become more and more suffused with the beyond, luminous with the beyond. You become more and more ecstatic with the beyond, the benediction, the beatitudes. Now it is not work. You start singing and dancing. You start enjoying. Now those days of sadhana are over. Now you have nothing to practice. God has taken possession of your heart. Now He will do. Now you can trust and leave it to Him. One relaxes totally. This is what let go means. Not that the journey has ended. Traveler is gone. Traveling continues now, but the traveler is gone. Now there is nobody who is journeying. Journey continues. And now there is a beauty to this journey, because there is no effort. There the hidden banners are fluttering in the air. And you can see the hidden banners fluttering in the air. The faraway goal is not so far away now. From the fifth, you move to the sixth. Sixth is superconscious mind. From the sixth, sudden jump into the seventh. It is sudden. Remember, it is not gradual. Up to the fifth, effort is needed. From fifth to sixth, no effort is needed. From sixth to seventh, there is no gradual progression. A sudden jump, instantaneous, immediate. Not even a split second is needed. Kabir says, my heart is dying, though it lives. In a way, I am dying. The old is going. The new is born. In a way, I am no more. And in another way, I am for the first time. This is the crucifixion and the resurrection. On the fifth, Jesus is crucified. In His crucifixion, He relaxes. In that relaxation, He moves beyond the sixth. In the seventh, He is resurrected. Jesus is gone. Christ has come. Buddha is gone. The old Buddha, Gautam Siddhartha, is gone. Now, a totally new being, nameless, formless, is born. Kabir says, my heart is dying, though it lives. In fact, it lives for the first time. It lives utterly, totally. Only when you die, God lives in you. Until you die, God cannot live in you. Only when you have vacated, when your inner space is absolutely empty, when you have come to a zero experience, He comes, He floods you. He starts overflowing. These songs are Kabir, are nothing but the overflowing of that melody that He has heard. These songs are nothing but the overflowing of the flood that He has received into His innermost being. These songs are no more ordinary songs. These songs are not only that of a poet, that are that of a mystic, one who knows by living it, one who has tasted of God, who is drunk with God. Enough for today.